Today's daf is Maseches Tamid, daf Chavav. We are holding on daf. We actually read up to Chavav Amar Aleph. Let's read again from the bottom line of Chav Hamid Beis. So this, we're still in the first Mishnah of Maseches Tamid, and we're discussing what happened the night before. We're gonna get to the Avodas HaTamid, but first we have to discuss where the Kohanim were, how they woke up, what exactly happened. So we described their sleeping arrangements. So the older Kohanim slept in one place, and the younger Kohanim slept on the floor. So Ira Keri LeEchad Mehen, if one of them became a Balkari, so you can't stay in the Beis HaMikdash. So Yotze Vaholichlo B'Mesiva HaOlechas Lo Tach Sabira. So they would sneak out through a tunnel that went underneath the Beis HaMikdash. In the Mishnah, it doesn't really tell us where this Beis HaTvila was that they went. It just says V'Neiruz Dolken Mikan U'Mikan Achu Magia LeBeis HaTvila. They'd go through this tunnel. There were candles on either side of the tunnel, and then they got to the Beis HaTvila U'Madura HaYisosham, and there was a fire there by the Beis HaTvila. But it doesn't exactly describe where the location of this Beis HaTvila was. So the Mefarish says that it was outside of the Azara, and the Mechila was open to the Lishchas Beis HaMokad on one side, and on the other side it was open to the Beis HaTvila, which was outside of the Azara. So this tunnel led from the Lishchas Beis HaMokad to the Beis HaTvila, but the Beis HaTvila, again, primarily the issue that the Mefarish says, the Beis HaTvila was outside of the Azara. The Gra in his parish on the Mishnah says, doesn't understand why would you have to say that it was located outside of the Azara. The Mechilos were lo niskadshu, the tunnels underneath the ground of the Beis HaMikdash didn't have the Kedusha of the Mikdash, and that's where the Beis HaTvila was anyway. It was in the Mechilos. If that's the case, even if it was Tachas HaAzara, the Temeim were able to go there. It sounds like from the Mefarish that no, the Beis HaTvila was not in the Mechilos. The Beis HaTvila, the Mechilos led you out to a spot which was above ground, and that's where the Beis HaTvila was. It was above ground, so it had to be somewhere that wasn't Kadosh. Whereas the Gra says, no, maybe it was in the Mechilos. He had a tunnel that led down, and at the end of the tunnel, it didn't lead out to somewhere. It just led you in deeper into this tunnel at the Beis HaTvila. In the Shara Melech in Hilchos Beis HaBechira Perek Vav Halachates, he's medayek from the Mefarish that really the Ikra Halacha that we say that Rabbi Yochanan holds Mechilos Lo Niskachu is only the Mechilos that were Psuchos Tarabayis, that those Mechilos have a din of Chol, but the Mechilos of Psuchos Azara have a din of the Azara. So if that's the case, you understand very well what the Mefarish is saying, that it has to be that that the Beis HaTvila had to be outside of the Azara, because any Mechila that opens up into the Azara would have a din of the Azara. So the whole idea of Mechilos Lo Niskachu is only Mechilos of Harabayis, but the tunnels underneath the Azara that open up into the Azara would have a din of the Azara. So that's what he holds. If there's a Mechila that's Psuch L'chol Ula Kodesh, its din would be like Kodesh, since it has a Pesach that's Pesuch L'Kodesh. That's why he has to say that the Tzad Sheni of the Pesach is Chutz Li Azara, that it has to lead them out to somewhere outside of the Azara. So the Mishnah goes on to say, okay, so they go to this Beis HaTvila, it has a fire there, presumably to warm them because it's cold. Ubeis HaKisei Shel Kavod, and there was a Beis HaKisei Shel Kavod that was there as well. Zehaya Kavodom Tso Nol Yodea Sheyeh Shamadam Pesuch B'Yodor Sheyeh Shamadam. As we read yesterday, the Kavod of this Beis HaKisei was that if you found it locked, you know somebody was in there, and if you found it unlocked, you know that nobody was in there. The Ravid writes in the name of Tosus that the reason that they made this Beis HaKisei was based on a Mishnah in Maseches Mikvaos Perek Ches Mishnah Dalit, where the Mishnah says that a Balkeri that goes to the mikvah but did not go to the bathroom first, was not Matil Mayim, didn't urinate first, so later when he then urinates after going to the mikvah, he's going to become Tamei again, because we assume that there's some keri that's still inside of him, and until he flushes his system, it's not going to be a valid Tvila. So that's why they made a Beis HaKisei, in order to be Matil Mayim Kodem Tvila. Prior to the Tvila, you have to be Matil Mayim if the Tvila was going to work. And Achronim write this as well, without even knowing that this was a Shitas HaRavid. So that's the reason for this Beis HaKisei. The Tiferes Yisrael points out but if that were the case, you wouldn't need a Beis HaKisei where you could be Matil Mayim Ba'amida. And he goes through a whole discussion of exactly what the Beis HaKisei would look like. However, this very din is subject to Machlokas Tanaim, really. Machlokas Chacham and Rabbi Yossi. The Chacham hold that it's halacha by kol adam, by any person, that if he's not Matil Mayim prior to Tvila, later when he's matel mayim, we're choshesh for tzuchtzuchei shech vazera, we're choshesh that there are little bits of shech vazera still inside of him, and we're worried that that's going to make him tameh. However, Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and he holds that this is only concerned by a chola or a zakein. But a young, healthy person is tahar even without going to the bathroom prior to going to the mikvah. The Rambam in Hilchos Avos HaTumos, Perakei Halacha Zayin, paskins like Shitas Rabbi Yossi. Again, Rabbi Yossi was the one that said that this concern only applies to a zakein or a chola. And he says that that a person could stand on one foot and take off and put on his shoes, he has a din of a yelet, he has a din of a young, healthy person. You have that geder in the Gemara, where is it? The Gemara in Chulin, I think, where the Gemara says that once a person reaches the age of 80, he's unable to take on or put off his shoes when he's standing up, because from Moshe Rabbeinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh, take a step back, Shal Na'alecha Me'al Raglecha, take off your shoes. Why do you have to tell him to take a step back, take off his shoes? Because you're standing on a Makom Kadosh, you're standing in the Azara, and Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azara El Machlis Beis David Bilvad, right? You can't sit here, and if you're 80 years old, you're gonna have to back up, you're gonna have to take off your shoes. So the Gemara Chulin doesn't connect it to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara Chulin just tells us that an 80-year-old can't take off their shoes standing up, I think. So, but a younger person who's healthy, I think there's a Maril Diskin, Rabbi Sholeib Diskin connects it to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says that was the kunz of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, because there's a medrash that says that on that pasuk about Shal Na'alecha Me'al Raglecha, this medrash says that Malchus Bikesh, that Moshe Rabbeinu was interested in Malchus. So Maril Diskin says, where do you see anywhere that he was interested in Malchus? The fact that he didn't want to back up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to tell him, no, you don't take off your shoes here, back up a second, then take off your shoes, because Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old, he couldn't take off his shoes standing up, he would have had to sit down. Who could sit down in the Makom Azara? Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azara, El Malchus Beit Zavah Bilvad, so Malchus Bikesh. But either way, that is the geder of a certain age, a certain level of health, because the Gemara in Chulin says that one of the Amoraim said, I think it was Abayi, said that since Aim used to always take care of me and put oils on my skin, I'm very nimble and I'm able, even at an old age, to take off my shoes standing up on one foot. So only if a person can't do that because he is sick, so then he's considered a chola. So it turns out that over here we're talking about Kohanim who are Pirchei Kuhuna. So these are Pirchei Kuhuna. If you're paskin like the Rambam, L'chora, Pirchei Kuhuna shouldn't have this problem, because Pirchei Kuhuna are plenty young. There was no reason for them to have to be Tovel before, to go to the bathroom before the Tevila, if you assume like the Rambam who paskins like Rabbi Yossi. So the Or HaYasha writes, that's why the Rambam leaves out this din, that you have to go to the bathroom before you go to the mikvah, because he passed on the Rabbi Yossi that there is no such din, only for very old people. But the Achronim point out that even the halacha, we pass on the Rabbi Yossi that a chol and a zakin have to be matel mayim prior to going to the mikvah, but still everyone should be makbar l'chadchila, meaning even though we pass on like Rabbi Yossi maker a din that it's not necessary unless you're a chalor or a zakein, but several achronim in the quote in the Bir Halacha in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, some in Tafrei Shvav Siiv Dalid, in the name of several achronim, that even though l'chadchila, even though maker a din we pass on like Rabbi Yossi, l'chadchila would seem that even Rabbi Yossi would tell us why not, it's kedai to be machmir to go to the bathroom before going to the mikvah. Rashi in Maseches Brachos has an entire, in Samach Beis and Beis, gives an entirely different reason that there was a Beis HaKisei there. Up until now we explained the Ravid B'Shem Tosfos based on the Mishnah Megvos. Why is there a Beis HaKisei there? Because you can't do Tevila without a Beis HaKisei. You need to go to the Beis HaKisei before Tevila. So we said, okay, the way we pass on the Halacha, it's recommended that you do Tevila, that you do Beis HaKisei before Tevila, that you go to the bathroom before Tevila. Not that it's needed, but it's at least recommended. Rashi in Brachos gives an entirely different reason. He says, the Beis HaKisei is not Litzorech the Beis HaTvila. It's not that you need a Beis HaKisei in order to be able to do Tvila. He says it's the opposite. That since there's a Beis HaKisei, so there needs to be a Beis HaTvila there, because the halacha is Kol HaMesach Raglav Tov and Tevila. The Gemara in Yuma and Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, that anyone who goes to the bathroom is going to require Tevila. And that's what the Chak Nasan quotes from the Smag, that the Kavod Shel Beis HaKiseh, that was the great Kavod, unlike what the Mishnah says, where the great Kavod is just, you know, if somebody's in there or not. But part of the great Kavod of this Beis HaKiseh was that there was a Beis HaTevila Samuch the Beis HaKiseh, so it was made in such a way that it had this this Chumrah that you had to go to the mikveh after going to the bathroom. Okay, weiter in the Mishnah. So now he's down by this room, wherever this room is, somewhere in the tunnels beneath the Beis HaMikdash, or beneath the Azara, not beneath the Azara, wherever it might be, there's a mikveh in that room. So Yarad v'taval, Olavin is stopping, v'nischemim, k'negin ha-madura. So he goes into the mikveh, he comes out and he dries up, and then he warms up by the madura, by the light of the fire, because we said that there was a fire there. So just right off the bat, Olavin is stopping, he goes out and he dries up. So the Achronim already discussed, what's the chiddush in drying up? Of course you dry up. Bill Cosby used to have a routine about that, how you have to tell your kids everything, how they have to, you know, don't just tell them take a shower, that they have to dry up, because otherwise they just put on the pajamas without drying off. But what, the Kohen doesn't know that he's got to dry off? So what's the chiddush of saying that he has to be in the stopping? So the Mishnah Lamelech, rather, in Avodas Yom HaKippur in Perek Beis Halacha Beis, where it says in Maseches Yuma that in the Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol's olav in the stopping. So the Mishnah Lamelech says, what's it teaching us over there, that the Kohen Gadol's olav in the stopping? So he says, because in lo yistapig, if he doesn't dry off, we have to be choshish that maybe the water will have had some dirt in it, or something that will be chatzitza between his skin and the big de kahuna. And you don't want to have any chatzitzas between his skin and the big de kahuna. So it's critical halachically that the Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim dry off before he puts on his big de kahuna again, because otherwise the water won't be a chatzitza, but if there's any dirt in that water, that will be a chatzitza, and therefore it's going to invalidate his wearing of the big de kahuna. And he also says it could be that the mayim itself, then he goes on to say maybe even the mayim itself is a chatzitza in the big de kahuna. However, that doesn't fit over here, because over here we're talking about a kohen who's about to go home. He's tamei. Now he went to the mikveh, he's a tvil yom. He can't do the avodah today. We're about to send him on his way home. So the Mishnah Lamelech's approach for the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur doesn't seem to really work over here. So the Mishnah Lamelech says, maybe Urcha de Milsa Nakat, that it's there's no din over here that he has to dry up. It's just, since we always mention drying off when it comes to the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, so we mention drying off here. And that's why the Rambam doesn't mention in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perches Halacha Zayin. The stipler in the Kilus Yaakov and Likutim, Chelik Vav Simul Ches, writes that you could say that there is a need to dry off from the water, because if you don't do that, the stipler going on the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, he says, because if you don't dry off before wearing the Big Day Kahuna, so it will turn out that what actually dries the person, the Big Day Kahuna, is what's drying the person. So he's getting Hanav from the Big Day Kahuna in a way that's Hanav Zilusa, it's a degradation of the Big Day Kahuna. But again, the stipler's reason also works very nicely for the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, but it doesn't work for over here, because we're talking about a Kohen who's not about to put on any Big Day Kahuna. So you have to say that it's just Orcha de Milsenach. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yoredei Chelik Beis, Simen Pei Vav, where the title of the tshuva is Letaritz Divrei HaMishnah LeMelech Shemayim Ukeruach Shechotzitz BeBig Day Kahuna, to try to explain the Mishnah LeMelech that water is able to be a chatzitza. So at the end, the Rav Moshe writes in the last paragraph of that tshuva that Vanistapik Sheperik Aleph De Tamid Shu Alaroa Keri Shaloy Avodas Shalachin Kasav Mishnah LeMelech Shu Rak LeOrcha De Milsa Nakad V'lo Ladina, says the problem that's posed by our Mishnah of the guy's not putting on Big Day Kuna anyway. So what was the point of him drying off? So it must just be Orcha De Milsa, says Rav Moshe. No, Nirla Niyastaiti Shigam Bazeh Ika Chiddush. There's a chiddush in our Mishnah telling us that he dries up. The lo hevi mi beso sudar li stapeg el hayu sham sudrin shenitlu mi mosh yari alishcha sherashay li stapeg bo af sheino tzorech avoda. That where do these towels come from? We don't require him. The chiddush is that we don't require him to bring a towel from home. That there are towels there in the mikvah on the Beis HaMikdash premises. Who bought these towels? They use these towels from communal money. Mosh yari alishcha that bought these towels. So one might think that it's inappropriate for him to use such towels when he's not about to do the avoda. It's not letzorech the avoda. So that's the chiddush. The chiddush is that he's able to be mistapig with these towels, even though he's not about to do the avoda. The Mefarish asks how he's allowed to be tovel at night. The Mishnah Maseches Megillah Daf Chav says that in tovelin ela bayom. The Mishnah and Megillah discuss those things that are mitzvaso bayom and those things that are mitzvaso belayla. So tvila is one of those things that's only bayom, that it's not supposed to be done at night. So the Mefarish says that din is only by chayavi tvila that need a svira, that need to count 7 days, a tamimeis, a zav, a mitzora, where we say that after they count 6 days and it's already the night of the seventh, they can't be tovel the night of the seventh. When can they be tovel? The next morning on the seventh day. It's not a din in night, meaning if they want to be tovel the night after the seventh day, the eighth night, because on day, let them be tovel then. It's only a din that they're not allowed to be tovel on the seventh night. It's kilu, we're saying that there's no mitzvah sayom kikulo kind of thing on the seventh night. At nighttime, it's only during the daytime, like we experienced Lag BaOmer yesterday. People were asking if you're allowed to shave already after nates, take a haircut after nates, why couldn't you do it at night? Because mitzvah sayom kikulo, you only say during the daytime, you don't say at nighttime. So similar, not exactly the same, because it's not exactly mitzvah sayom kikulo over there, but when someone counts 7 days of tumah, they can't go to the mikveh at night, they go to the mikveh during the day. Zava's allowed to go to the mikveh during the day. Every nida nowadays we assume is a zava gedola midaraisa. So technically she should be allowed to go to the mikveh during the day. It should work if she goes to the mikveh on the seventh day. But the Shulchan Aruch says we don't do that because we're afraid, very logical concern. A woman has to count Shiva Nikiyim. If she goes to the mikveh if she sees dam at any point during Shiva Nikiyim, retroactively all of her Shiva Nikiyim were bad. Let's say she goes to the mikveh 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the seventh day, sleeps with her husband 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock she sees dam. So yeah, the mikveh made her tahora, but if she sees dam 3 o'clock, it shows retroactively she was never tahora, and it will turn out that she violated nisuk karis by being with her husband. So we don't want to risk that, so that's why we never allow a woman to go to the mikveh during the day on the seventh day. But technically speaking, midaraisa, it would be permissible. Sometimes in extreme circumstances, we do allow it. We just had a case recently, it was just asked a shayla not that long ago about a kala who the timing just got messed up somehow, not important how, but it worked out that the seventh day was the day of her wedding. So the only time for her to go to the mikveh was either after the wedding, which is really not so gishmak, or to go the day of the wedding. So many poskim are mekel that she can go the day of the wedding as long as she doesn't get to the yichud room until after Tesa Kochavim. It shouldn't be with her husband alone until after Tesa Kochavim. Rav Shechter was pretty mekel about when Tesa Kochavim is exactly in terms of cheshbon Tesa Kochavim in that case. But yeah, but that's the halacha. So why was I saying that? Yeah, so that's what the Mefarish is saying, that there's no din that you can't go to the mikveh at night, so it's okay if this kohen's going to the mikveh at night. The din is that you're not supposed to go to the mikveh the wrong night, the night too early, before it's the zman yet. Tosa says in the name of the Riva that really every tefillah has to be belayla, even the tefillah's tamimeis, and when the Mishnah Megillah says that, or not has to be, can be belayla, when the Mishnah Megillah says that ain't tovel melel biyom, it means the tefillah's ha'ezov, that you don't dip the ezov, you know, but it's not talking about the tefillah of a person. So that's what it's referring to when it says in tefillah el biyom. Vayter in the Mishnah now, so now the kohen is dried up and he's warmed up, bavi yashav lo etzel achiv. So he would go to hang out with his Kohanim brethren until it came time for him to go, until the gates opened up, and then he would go on his way, then he would go home, he would be Yotze Vaholichlo. Now, the Gemara Maseches Yevamos quotes a brisa by a Metzora that's 8th day, falls out on Erev Pesach, and he sees, he becomes a Balkeri on the on Boba Yom, on that day, and he goes to the mikveh. So the Chachamim say, even though Tvil Yom normally cannot be Nichnas, this guy can be Nichnas, because we'd rather Yavo Asei Sheyesh Bo Kares, the Asei of Korban Pesach, which has Kares, and let it be Dochan Asei Sheyin Bo Kares. The Pashtus of Lashon the Braisa seems that there is an Isra Sefer Tvil Yom to enter into the Machna Leviya. It's only because of the Asay of Pesach that we allow him to enter the Machna Leviya. So therefore, if we're reading that Gemara in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Zayin and Beis correctly, it's a little bit difficult to understand our Mishnah. Here you have a guy who's a Balkeri. He goes out, goes to the mikveh. Then what does he do? Goes right back. He goes in to hang out with Achav HaKohanim. What do you mean he goes back to Achav HaKohanim after he goes to the mikvahs? It's full yom. It's one thing when you have the say of Kares, of Pesach, to be docha, this assay. But otherwise, why is he allowed to go back in? It's an Isra Asay Min HaTorah for Tvil Yom to go into the Machna Leviya. So the Mefarish says that the Gemara over there really says that Rabbi Yochanan says that Midor Raisa, it's not even an Isra Asay, because the whole Isra of Tvil Yom Machna Leviya is only Midrabanan. So since it's only an Isra Drabanan, it could be they weren't Machmir over here to be Matriachim to go out in the middle of the night, and we let him at least wait till it's safe to be traveling through the streets, since it's only a Drabanan anyway. So Gavna, the Rabbanan were never goes there. So it turned out, therefore, that the Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara Nivamas is not being cholik on the Tana of the Braisa. He's agreeing with the Tana of the Braisa, because Rabbi Yochanan is not even able to be cholik on a Tana. We know that even though Rabbi Yochanan is a contemporary of Rav, the Gemara will sometimes say, Rav Tana Hu Palig. You never find Rabbi Yochanan Tana Hu Palig. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't argue on Tanaim. Rabbi Yochanan is coming to be Mefarish, that the Nasei Shein Bokares means an Isser Drabanan, that the reason why we allow the guy on Erev Pesach, the Tvil Yom on Erev Pesach, to go into the Machna Leviya is because going into the Machna Leviya as the Tvil Yom is only Nisra Drabanan anyway. That's what the Tanakhama meant by Asay She'inbo Kares. Okay, the other reason why perhaps the Balkari that was Tovel is allowed to go together with his Kohanim until with his Kohanim brethren until the morning, Tosos and Mesechas Zvachim writes, and Daflam and Alpha and Bez in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that since the whole Isra of Knesset Lamachna Leviya is only Midrabanan, they weren't Machmir by the Tumah of a Tvil Yom unless he was Nitma Bechutz. But in the place where it became, in the situation where it was Nitma Be'azara, they didn't make this Chum Midrabanan. So similar idea that it's a Din Drabanan, but in a different Knech, that it's only that when did the Drabanan make, it's nothing to do with safety, we don't want him to go out in the middle of the night, none of that stuff. No, the issue is that if he became Tamei in the Azara, this whole Din doesn't apply, we let him stay in the Azara, but if he became Tamei outside, so then we're not going to let him come in. So in the Birei Adaf over here, he quotes the Shi'urei HaGrid, I'm not sure which grid this is, but the Shiurei HaGrid, who is raised the suffix, what does Rabbeinu Tam mean by this? Is the Iker Chilik that he makes simply dependent on where he became Tamei? That if he became Tamei Bechutz, then he's not allowed in the Machna Leviya, but if he became Tamei Befnim, he's allowed in the Machna Leviya? Or maybe no, maybe it's not about where he became Tamei. The whole issue that the Rabbanan Ruh goes there is that you're not allowed to enter the Machna Leviya Betumah. If you were already there in Tameh, you're allowed to stay there. But the nature of the din is that one may not enter the Machna Leviya Betumah. So he says that it would turn out that if you were Nitma Befnim, where you're not entering the Machna Leviya, you wouldn't have to leave. But if you were Nitma Bechutz, you wouldn't be allowed to enter. So he's Medayik from Tosin Yavamas, where Tos says in the Lashon of Rabbeinu Tam, Shelo Yikanes. So it sounds like the Yisod Achilik is Shelo Yikanes. But if you're Nitma Befnim, there's no Isra at all. Kivin Shelo Gazru Isra Shehiya. There is no Isra Shehiya whatsoever. Which makes it a little difficult to understand what's going on over here. The guy is Tameh. He's going out to be Tovel. And then we let him come right back in. What do you mean? If it's an Isra of Knisa, how can we let him right back in? So that's a very difficult kasha, unclear if how to understand that according to Rabbeinu Tam. So then the Mishnah says, Yotzei v'holichlo. So he goes on his way. So the Mefarish says, what do you mean he goes on his way? It means that he has to go home. He's holichlo beso to do whatever he needs to do because he can't do avodah that day. He's a tful yom. And he says, maybe it's not just that he's allowed to go home or that he might as well go home because he's got nothing to do over here. Maybe we require him to go home because we're choshesh that because of the chavivus avoda, he's going to want to try to do the avoda. So in order to keep him away from the yetzer hara of doing the avoda, we send him home. That's how the Mefarish says. Now,
the next day he comes back.
And then, yeah, the next day he can come back. So that's how the Mefarish understands that Yosef Halichlo maybe is not just Stam, that it's a recommendation, but that it's required. So the Bereshiva just points out that the Mefarish Lishitaso said before that You don't have to give explanations why he has to leave in the morning, because the Mefarish said before that Be'emes is asur for him to be in the Machne Levia, and it's only at nighttime we're not matriachim. But as soon as it's daytime, get out of here, you're tameh, you're not allowed to be in the Machne Levia. So it's unclear why the Mefarish has to give this reason why he's yotzei v'halichlo. Of course he's yotzei v'halichlo, he's tameh. Forget about the desire to do the avoda. But according to the other reasons that the Rabbeinu Tam that we said before, that the reason that he's not allowed to he's allowed to be there through the night is because there's no isser of being there. There's an isser of knisa. So then you would need the Mefarish's explanation of why it is that he's yotzei v'halichlo, that we dafka send him away. Okay, weiter in the Mishnah. So says the Mishnah, Mishu rotza litrumas mizbeach mashkim etov alachle yava amunah. Someone who's interested in doing the trumas hadeshen from the mizbeach should wake up early and go to the mikvah prior to the arrival of the mamuna. How early do you have to do that to beat the mamuna? What time would the mamuna come? Lo kali itim shavel. So he didn't come the same time every day. It wasn't like an exact alarm clock. Pamshu ba mikros hagever osamach lami l'fanav v'machrav. When the rooster crows, sometime around then, maybe a little before, a little after, hamuna ba v'davak alein vein paskalo. The mamuna would come and he'd knock on the door and they would open the door for him. Amar lehen misha tavel yavav yafis. Whoever went to the mikvah could come and participate in this lottery. Hefisu, and then they did the lottery. Misha zacha zachabo, and whoever won the lottery won the lottery. So that's the achronim abadir. Misha zacha zachabo. Whoever won the lottery won the lottery. Of course, I would assume that the person who won the lottery didn't lose the lottery. So what does it mean? Misha zacha zachabo. So the Tiferes Yisrael writes that you have to, that the kfelus halashon over here teaches us that someone who was zocha al yidei the pious, it wasn't just happenstance that someone wins the lottery. It was a raya that he was zocha b'shamayim, that he won the lottery b'shamayim as well, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to win. And therefore, it would seem that he's not allowed to give it away to somebody else. Meaning the fact that he won the pious shows that he was chosen. So if he was chosen, it's not okay to say, you know what, I'll be mochel today, I'll give it to somebody else. That's the chiddush of Misha Zacha Zachabo. And the Gemara in Yuman, Chafei Amaralf, says that the payasos were in the Lishchas Hagazis. So it's clear in the Gemara there's a halacha and akpada that this drawing of lots has to dafka be in the Kodesh. Because the Gemara proves this, that the payasos were Lishchas Hagazis, which is not kula shabal karchach ein kulo chol. Because the pasuk says, bebeis elukim nahalich baragesh. So the pious was done, has to be done dafka b'kodesh. So Tos says the reason they had to be mefayis b'lishchas Hagazis and not in the Azar itself was because since the Seder HaPayas would involve taking off their hats, taking off the mitznefes from the heads of the Kohen, so it's not kavod to stand in the Azara without the mitznefes. Plus, he said they would stand in a circle, so you don't want anyone's back, El Hechel Hashem. So that's why they wouldn't do it in the Azara itself. The reason they weren't Mephayis Dafka, and the reason they had to Dafka be Mephayis in Lishchas Hagazis, the Mefarish says, because the Kohanim and the Azara were closest to there, so that's why they would do the pious over there. So says the Mefarish, yeah, that's by other payasos. That's what the Gemara in Yuma is talking about, where there would be Mephayis in Lishchas Hagazis. But over here, this pious was to be Torim the Mizbeach, would probably be done in the Beis HaMokad, because that's where the Kohanim were. Meaning, if it's all about proximity to the Kohanim, so why would you go far away? You would do it close by, you would do it wherever the Kohanim are. And in this situation, the Kohanim were already in the Beis HaMokad. So that's what Mefarish says. The Rambam doesn't seem to say that way. The Rambam, in Tamidim Musaf, in Perek Vav, Halach Aleph, says, Seder Avodus HaTamidus B'chol Yom, Hukach, Samuch Lalos HaShachar, Yavo Amunosh Al HaPiyasos, V'yakish Al HaZor HaPoskono, V'kol HaKohanim Shasham Kvar Tav, L'kodim Shiyavo Amuna, V'lov Shubig Dekuna, V'yavo V'yamdu B'lishchus HaKaz, V'yifaisu Pais Rishon Vesheni. So he says they stand in the Lishchas Hagazis and they're Mefayes Rishon Vesheni, that even the first pious is done in the Lishchas Hagazis. Not like the Mefarish says over here, that only the first pious was done by the Beis HaMokad. Okay, right, let's see the Gemara. So says Gemara, Minani Mili, how do I know this is true? How do I know what's true? So Machlokes Rishonim, what exactly the Gemara's question is, something about the Shmira, that we had Kohanim being Shomer in different places. So Amar Abayi, Amar Kra, the Acharon L'fnei Mishkan, Kedem L'fnei Olam Moed, Mizrach, Moshe, V'Aaron, Uba, Ubanav, Shomru, Mishmaris HaMikdash, from Mishmaris Bnei Yisrael. So it speaks of Moshe, Aaron, Ubanav. Apparently there are three separate guards. So Amri, in Shimur B'Alma, Ashkan, Dubai. Now all you've proven over here is that you need Shmira, that there is a din of Shmira, which some Rishonim say that must have been the question. How do I know that you need Shmira? But others say that can't be the question. It's a fairish din in the Torah that you need Shmira. So it's unclear exactly what the question was and what this first answer was. Meaning, if we're asking how do I know you need Shmira, it's a strange pasuk to quote. If you're asking how I know you need three spots of Shmira, so then why is the Gemara saying, yeah, all that proves is that you need some sort of Shmira. Miu Masnid, the Gemara's follow-up question is, how do I know you need three spots? Miu Masnisim Katani Bishlosha Mekamos HaKadim Shomer Beis HaMikdash Valvim Besim Vechad Makam. It says in the Mishnah that there were three Mekamos where the Kadim would be, 21 spots where the Levim would be. Vilakra Kadim Levim Bahadei Adadiksiv. The pasuk that you quoted mentions Kohanim, it mentions Levim, but it mentions them together. It sounds like they're all in the same spot, they're all in the same places. So where do we get this idea in the Mishnah that the Kohanim were stationed in certain spots and Levim were stationed in other spots? Sarmi Hachi Kamar. The pasuk says like this, V'achonim v'nei Mishkan. This is the way to read the pasuk. You have to know how to put parentheses. V'achonim v'nei Mishkan, not parentheses, commas. You have to know how to punctuate the pasuk. V'achonim v'nei Mishkan, keidim v'lefnei ol mod mizracha, Moshe, that's a reference to Moshe. V'hadar, Aaron ubanav shomrei mishmeres hamikdash. Aaron b'chad makom, ubanav b'shnei makamos. That Aaron had one spot, his banim each had their own spots, they were, his two sons were in two different spots. So that's where you see the Kohanim, Aaron and his two sons, each had their own spot. Mimai, how do you know that they each had their own spot? Midukhsiv v'akonim uksiv shomrim, midukhsiv v'akonim uksiv shomrim. Chonim l'chud v'shomrim l'chud. So you see that Moshe was separate from Aaron Ubanav, because one it calls Chonim and the other it calls Shomrim. So you see that Chonim and Shomrim must be in different spots. So frankly, but Ema kulu b'chad makom l'chudei. Maybe they were all together in one place. How do you know that they were in separate places? Lo salkadai tunei. You can't think, meaning maybe all the sons of Aaron and Aaron were in one place. All the Kohanim were in one place. Granted, Moshe was separate, but how do you know that Aaron and his sons were separated from each other? Gemara says, no, it can't be that Aaron and his sons were in one place, because Ma Moshe b'chad makom l'chudei, af Aaron ubanav b'chad makom l'chudei. Because we compare, there's a hekesh between Moshe and Aaron ubanav over here. And if Moshe was in his own lonesome spot, so it must be that Aaron ubanav also had their own spots all by themselves. So that's how we learn that there were three different locations where the Kohanim would do Shemira. Because Aaron and his two sons each had their own spot. Rav Ashi Amar Misefi Dekra, Shomrim Mishmeres L'Mishmeres. It's the latter part of the pasuk that we learned it from. That it says, Shomrim Mishmeres HaMikdash L'Mishmeres. Says the root Shemira three times within a span of four words. So that teaches us that there needs to be three separate Makomos of Shmira. Vayter in the Gemara, Beis Avtinas or Beis HaNitzotz. So we mentioned two of the spots, so the Beis Avtinas and the Beis HaNitzotz. And we said that the Kohanim would guard from the Alios. So Yiboyulahu, Alios Mamishavu, Odom Avu Gviya Migva Kalios. Does it mean literally that these were second floors, that they were on top of a first floor? Or does it just mean that these were high spots that were as high as a second story, but they weren't actually a second story, they were just built on a high place? So Tashma will bring a Raya to Tanan. Shabbat Safon, when it goes through, the Mishnah Midas goes through the different gates into the Beis HaMikdash, Shabbat Safon, Shara Nitzot, Kiminach Sadra Haya, Va'aliya Benuya Al Gaba, Shakwanim Shom Milamala, Va'avil Milamata, describes very clearly, Shara Nitzot with an Aliyah on top of it, Kohanim watching from on top, Levium from on bottom. So it sounds like there was a bottom floor. Upesach Hayala L'chol. And it opened up into the chol. So minani mili. How do we know? The Tan Rabbanan ve'ilavu alecha ve'yishrasucha. Bavodascha akasu medaber. Meaning, how do I know that the Levim and the Kohanim were in the same spot, that the Kohanim on top and the Levim on the bottom? Because it says that they would accompany you and they would serve you. So bavodascha akasu medaber. In your avoda, atom bavodascha akasu medaber in all bavodasam. So does this mean in your avoda? Maybe it means in their avoda, in their own meaning. Is it telling me that the Levim were tough to the Kohanim in the Shmira? Maybe it's only bavodasam was only in their own Shmira. So kshu. So Hare Bavodasam Amor. No, from Vinilvu Alech Vishamru we already learn Avodasam, Hamani Mikhaimi Love Alech Vishrasucha Bavodascha hakas medaber. So haketzad. So how does this work out? Kohanim shomri lamala v'levim milamata. Meaning we see from here that if they had to be separate, but they had to be together, they had to be in different spots, but somehow they were accompanying the kohanim, so they were in the same general location, but the kohanim were higher up and the levim were lower down. So bottom line is, this was on a higher level. It was aliyah. It was an actual second floor. It wasn't just built at a higher location. Period. Beis Hamokad Kippa, Ubayis Gadol Hay. The Beis Hamokad was a dome, and it had this large bayis. V'chad Shomer who da have a Beis Hamokad, and there was one Shomer in the Beis Hamokad. So wait a second. Frekli Gemara Uriminhi, but I'll ask a stira. Shnei Sharim Hayu beBeis Hamokad. Echad Pesuach Lachel, Echad Pesuach Lazara. How could you say that it was good enough to have one Shomer in the Beis Hamokad? We learned that there were two gates in the Beis Hamokad, one of which was open to the Chel, and one that was open to the Azara. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bezeshen Nechnas Lazara. The one that was open to the Azara had a little hatch that you can get through in order to go check and inspect the Azara and make sure that the Azara had everything it needed for tomorrow's Avoda. But bottom line is, we see that there were two gates, and if there were two gates, how is it good enough to have, only one Shomer? The Mishnah records only one Shomer there. Some Rabbi, Kibin the Gabi Adadi Avokaimi, Sagilu Bechad Shomer, Davi Lahach. They were right next to each other, these two gates. So you could have one Shomer if there are two doors right next to each other. He looks this way, he looks that way. You didn't need another Shomer, so that's fine. Mukav Rovdin Shalevin. So we said that the room was surrounded by these hewn stones. So Rovdin, and these ledges of stone. Rovdin Mainihu, what is Rovdin? Gazarta Ditstavta, Desalkibulit Stavta. These ledges of stone that lead up to other ledges of stones. So Miyavu Mifbi Avanim? Wait a second, can they really cut Avanim? Vaksivi Kisa Vihabayas Bivanaso Evan Shlema. That when they built the Beis HaMikdash, she had to use complete stones. You weren't allowed to cut stones in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. So what's going on over here? How are they able to have stones that were cut? Some rabbi dmitkni umaisi meikara avni zutras of avni ravravta kedichsev avni asramos avni shmona amos. They would prepare the stones in advance. They wouldn't cut the stones on premises. They cut the stones before they brought them to the Beis HaMikdash, and that way they were able to use these stones. Meaning Abai is saying over here that the hakpada not to cut the avanim in order that the avanim be shlemos, that's only if you cut them bifnim, but you're allowed to cut them bachutz and then bring them bifnim. That's how the Mefarish explains Abaye. Now there is a Gemara in Sota where the Gemara quotes Machlokas from Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya about the Avnei Migdash. Rabbi Yehuda says that Shlomo built the Migdash al Yidei HaShamir. He used the Shamir to cut through all the stones, that special worm that's able to cut through all the stones, and he never used clay barzel on any of the stones. Rabbi Nechemya says, no, Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash with very nice stones, and he cut them very nicely. When we say that you're not allowed to have stones being cut, that means bifnim. It doesn't mean bachutz. So the Rambam paskens like Rabbi Nechemya that you're not allowed to be mefatzel avnei abinyan bahar habayis, but you can cut them outside. You can cut them bachutz, and then you can bring them inside. And the Kesef Mishnah says that the Rambam paskens like Rabbi Nechemya, even though in Sota Rebbe says nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda ba'avnei amigdash. So if you just learn the primary sugya, which is the sugya in Sota, you'd come away with the distinct impression that we should not pasken like Rabbi Nechemya. We should pasken like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rebbe says nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Ram Paschal Rabbi Nechemya? Because the Gemara Maseches Tamid sounds like Rabbi Nechemya. Over here, Abaye sounds like Rabbi Nechemya. He says that it was fine for them to cut it as long as they cut it outside, and then they brought it in. Mishnah Melech says that the Kesef Mishnah was Medakdek, and he writes that it's Mavur in the Gemara Tamid like Shitas Rabbi Nechemya. He doesn't say the Mishnah in Tamid is like Shitas Rabbi Nechemya when it says that these Rovdin Shel Even. That in different sizes. So l'chora from the Mishnah, we could have said that it could have been muchach like Rabbi Nechemya, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't cut the stones at all, so they have to be shlemo. So how did you get stones of exactly these sizes? So be'emes the Ikra Mishnah, we could say maybe the chatichas avanim was like the shamir, so that could even be gone like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's why Rabbi Medayit says it's dafka the Gemara that's muchach Rabbi Nechemya, because it's only Abaye's comment that's really muchach like Rabbi Nechemya. The There is discussion in the Rishonim also, in the Achronim at least, about where you're allowed to cut them. Is it only outside of the Azara? Does it have to be outside of the Har Habayis as well? Where exactly, outside of what, do these stones, dafka, need to be cut? No time for that discussion right now. Let's just get down a couple of lines further. Zikne beis avi shenim sham. So we said that the elders of the family that was doing the Kohanim would sleep by these stones. They would do, and the way the Mefarish explains is they'd use these stones to climb into these little holes in the wall where they had their beds. Not beds, but that's where they had an area to sleep. So, Frakta Gemara, why not beds? Just bring beds there. Wouldn't that be so much more comfortable? Some rabbi, lava or recharla yule mitos the Beis HaMikdash. It's not right. You don't bring beds into the Beis HaMikdash. You don't have sleeping, and you don't have beds in the Beis. You have sleeping, but you don't have beds in the Beis HaMikdash. You don't make the Beis HaMikdash look like a bedroom. Okay, that's disrespectful for a Makom HaMikdash. All right, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from Pirkei Kohuna. Okay.